Welcome back to HOA. It is a true story. Today we have two incredible men here to share their story with us about what it's like to advocate and testify in front of the California legislation on behalf of our community associations. We have both returning guests, Becky Jolly, community management consultant with Omni Management out of Sacramento, and Becky testified on AB 572 and AB 1458, and Kelly Zibel, owner of DC Group, she testified on AB 648. We're so pleased to have you both join us today. Welcome to HOA, It's a True Story.
Thanks for having us.
Also joining us is Bill Mann, president of GB Group.
Thank you, Reagan.
Okay, so let's start with you, Becky. What made you want to testify for associations? What was the call to action that got you doing this?
I always want to advocate for my communities, but when 572 came up for testifying, which is the bill regarding low market rate units, which is again one of the little offshoots that barely anybody knows about. They're trying to change the special assessment or assessment increases period, where below market rate units that are already in an established community would no longer be applicable to the full 20% that associations need when they're doing their assessment increases. They're doing it because they need to fund the items. It's not for pleasure. And the legislature believes that they need to solve this problem. There's no problem to solve. They already bought their unit below market rate. They're getting the same value because even though their home will always be a below market rate unit, they already bought low, so they're going to sell higher than what they were. They don't sell for the exact same price. So they're getting a value.
They're getting a discount from everyone else?
No. So there's specific units that are listed as below market rate. So those can never be sold for a higher rate, but they all currently pay the association assessments evenly. Okay. What 572 is trying to do is discount the below market rate in a belief that they're not getting the same value as a regular market rate unit, which is inaccurate.
Okay.
And so this means they're taking a bucket of water from that person and trying to throw it in everybody else's boat and seeing who sinks faster.
Okay. Did somebody call you and ask you to come advocate?
Yes. Okay. Jennifer Wada with CACM asked me.
Okay. So through one of the association groups, they are working with the legislation and said, hey, Becky, we know you've experienced this in one of your communities. Could you come and speak about this? Right. So that that was the call to action. Were you a little intimidated by that at the beginning? Did you like, oh, I don't know about this? Or did you go, hell yeah?
It was a hell yeah moment, to be honest.
Awesome.
Let's charge into the fray.
And then you actually testified on another one as well on 1458. So tell us what that one was.
So 1458 is to lower quorum. And I got to speak to the Judiciary Committee on that for the Assembly. And I would say that it's a no-brainer. When we've gone through that incredibly arduous six-month election cycle, the idea that people have not been notified at this point that the election is happening, to save that final cost, to just say, if you've not reduced your quorum for your board members, 20% is all you've got to get, should be a no-brainer. The committee didn't exactly see it that way because they think that people are not getting noticed. And I'm like, how many notices do we have to send? So I obviously advocate strongly. Somebody doesn't have the provision removed where there's no quorum for director elections, let them at least get 20, because 20% is a lot more achievable than any of the higher numbers. And then we actually have elections that happen versus this constant, well, we'll have to postpone, send out more ballots. Oh, nope, sorry, don't have it. And if you're paying for an inspector of elections, that means you're paying that inspector every single time you're meeting. You're paying these additional costs, and not every association is in, you know, Santa Barbara, where it's very trendy and you have almost 100% of your association showing up. You have low-income homeowners who are just trying to get by and do their job, they come home, they don't care. As long as the outside is maintained, they just don't care. So they don't have that sense of urgency and a sense of passion that somebody who has a lot more funds, who aren't striving to just get by, can have. And so for me, I felt that the Judiciary Committee was a little askew on that because they did show their bias. Well, my association, we did this. You're here for the people. You are not here for your personal association.
Association, right.
And so obviously I'm a little passionate.
Well, were you solicited for that one by the same group at CACM?
Yes.
Okay, so both.
Yeah.
Okay, let's switch over to Kelly for a minute. Kelly, you testified on AB 648. First, tell me how you got called to action and then what your bill was about.
5 years ago, I think when they did the election law changes, and we all had to go out and get new election rules, and all my clients at the time were like so mad. How are you guys letting this happen? What happened? And so we did a presentation. Nate McGuire did it for us. He was the CAI Legislative Action Committee representative from the CAI Basin chapter. And so he did a presentation for my clients about how a bill gets made. And I found it fascinating how that bill was voted on, how it got passed, despite all the grassroots efforts. And I really felt at that time that like I needed to get involved and I needed to make sure my clients were aware on the front end of legislation that could affect our industry and could have an impact and help make a difference. I didn't realize like how important it was from a grassroots perspective to get involved, to make the calls to for the legislator to really realize, you know, that this is impactful for associations and for your personal legislator and what it means for you to call them or email them or Facebook message them. I didn't know all of that. And so I had gotten a presentation from Nate, and then Louie Brown did a presentation at CAI's legal forum just shortly after that. And so those two things were really impactful for me in terms of wanting to be involved. I'd not had the opportunity before about a month ago to go testify in support or in opposition to a bill. And I didn't really understand what the process was, but Jennifer Wada from CACM reached out and asked about AB 648, which is a bill that supports virtual meetings. And so we have the ability to do virtual meetings now, but you're required to also have a physical location in conjunction with the board meeting, which I also have the pleasure of serving on my own board as the president. And we have no common area. I mean, we have a pool in the common area, but we don't have a clubhouse or an indoor location for our association to meet together. So we can meet in person at the pool for two of our four quarterly meetings, but the other two meetings, we have to rent a room at the community center, which is almost $1,000 every time we rent it. And nobody shows up to the meeting. Whereas when we have them on Zoom, we get a lot of homeowners that show up. There's a lot of young families that live in my community. And so evening 7 o'clock meetings is smack in the middle of bedtime for those folks. And being able to participate on Zoom lets them listen in, but still handle kind of their home responsibilities with dinner and bedtime and all of that. So that's what made me want to testify when Jennifer reached out, and how I kind of got involved and really interested in understanding what this makes. So now I'm like on this train of really advocating to people get involved on the front end, because dealing with on the back end is awful. You have to make all these operational process changes. We all had just settled down from the election changes from 2006, you know, when we had to go to double envelope, and it was just all of a sudden now a thing that we all did, but now all of a sudden now we had to change all the processes and add all these extra things in. And it was because nobody paid attention and spoke up in the beginning until it was too late.
Becky, you said I'm passionate about this, right? So
yeah.
It was meaningful to you for watching the struggle here. And then Kelly, you kind of said, from my own personal experience, I feel the struggle, you know, trying to manage just my own home situation at your HOA. Are you seeing that a lot of your homeowners are already feeling the frustration on their end from these laws that haven't worked in their favor, I guess is the best way to say it?
I mean, I'll say, you know, Becky, and you could probably echo this or jump in here, but the homeowners only care because their assessments are going up. I'll say that. And the assessments are going up because we have to deal with all these new requirements, these mailers, these extra costs that increase the cost of running the association. So I think my homeowners in my community only care about that, the cost going up, and, you know, between that and then what else is going on with utilities and insurance, like the easier we can make it and the cheapest we can make it to run the association, the better it is for like the homeowners where I live and the communities that I work with. But Becky, I don't know about you, if your owners are different.
My owners are very cost conscious. I have some that are a little more involved and look at the cause and effect, but most of it is about cost savings, which is where my passion comes from, because what I see them doing with both of these bills are potentially adding costs and fees to the membership set as a whole, either to serve one party or because somebody is biased and believes that, you know, we have to send out even more notices or that something shady is going on despite the months of doing the notices and agendas and everything else that has been done. So it's a matter of money. And, you know, if you have a mansion, maybe you're not as concerned as somebody who is struggling in a smaller community. My smallest has 7 homes. Yeah. It's one building with 7 units in it. Follow they don't have the money to keep going for all of these ridiculous law changes that don't truly affect them.
All right, let's go into the actual day that you were asked to do this. You know, walk us through what happened, because I mean, I feel a little intimidated driving up to Sacramento to the big building, and you know, now you got to find parking, and oh my God, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to say? Did they write the script? Did you write your script? Was there a script? Walk me through. Now, Becky, you live in Sacramento. So Kelly, I know you had to drive a bit. Tell me what it was like for that day to go up there.
So I had the honor of speaking not only to the Assembly Housing Committee a month ago, just a couple of days ago, I got to speak on the Senate side to the Senate Housing Committee in support of the bill. So CACM and CAI were both there and in support for me. And I wrote a statement. They said you need about a 1 to 2 minute statement. I wrote the statement and sent it to Jennifer, and then she reviewed it, added any changes that needed to be made, and sent it back to me. But I had my statement kind of written out, so I just basically read a statement. And then Louis Brown, who's the CAI lobbyist, he answered any technical questions that the committee members might have had, so that was good. But I still had to be up there in case they wanted to ask me any questions, so that was a little nerve-wracking, and trying to be prepared kind of what the questions are. And so when you're sitting waiting for the bill to be heard, because you know, you may go up there and there's 20 bills on the docket and you just have to sit there until it's your turn. So they tell you get there at 1:30 and you may not be heard for an hour or two or three until it's your turn to, you know, speak on the bill.
The agenda gets to you, right?
Yeah. So the second time I went, we were first on the docket and there were only 3 bills being heard. And so I was in and out of there in 20 minutes.
Was there anybody on the opposing side that spoke, or is it just the you folks?
Yes. Marjorie Murray came and spoke in opposition when we were in the Assembly Housing Committee. But when the bill was at the Senate Housing Committee, there was no opposition. So no one spoke in opposition of the bill. So I don't know if they decided to drop their opposition or whatnot, but I was very fortunate in both committees I was in, they passed the bill unanimously out of committee. So you speak and you get your chance to say your piece. They ask any questions and then they vote right there on the bill. And so I got to hear them vote right after we talked, and they did pass the bill both times unanimously out of committee. So that was a good thing for my bill.
That is really great to hear that it was a positive outcome. Becky, let's hear what your day looked like when you went.
So I went on 2 separate days. When I spoke on 572, I was speaking in opposition. So I wasn't speaking for the bill. I was speaking against it. I think we spent 3 hours sitting there waiting for the bill to be called. And then when it's called and you're speaking in opposition, you have to sit back and you're like waiting for them to get through their entire speech. And then finally they're like, is there any opposition? And then you get to go up. And so I will say it wasn't that terrifying for me because I've done public speaking. If you hadn't done a lot of public speaking, I could see that that definitely would be intimidating. But I will say for 572, I had a script. But after listening to those that were for it and watching the committee's reactions through the whole day, and it was such a love fest for all of these bills, I was talking with Jennifer Wada, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be like ditching the script. And so I did part of my script, and then I ditched it and just really hit the core, which is, you know, stop taking your water and throwing it in someone else's boat.
So what was the outcome of your bills? They voted.
So they voted, and both of them got out of committee, unfortunately, for 572. But they did understand the reservations, and they did note it on the record that they didn't like the idea of burdening other homeowners with these additional costs that now would have to be borne by them, since they were taking money out of the pot, so to speak, since the below market rate units wouldn't be paying the same amount.
The hard thing to like understand about this process is that what I've learned is, and I don't know, maybe I just didn't watch that School of Rock, the how a bill gets made kind of video that we all watched as a kid, or I didn't remember that from growing up. But, you know, this bill goes in front of, well, all these bills have started on the assembly side, so our, essentially our House side, of, and they go to a committee or multiple committees. Then they go from that committee to, if they pass out of committee, then they go to be voted on the floor. So all three of these bills have passed the assembly, and then they go to the Senate side, and then the Senate's committees pick them up. And if it's one, two, three, multiple committees, it just depends on whether the bill has a fiscal impact on how many committees it goes to. Once it gets out of committee, then it's voted on by the Senate on the floor. So it actually is a really long process, much longer than I thought.
Kelly, did they do any redrafting of any of the bill you were involved in during this process, or was it the language staying the same?
There was one amendment added to 648 on the assembly side before it went before the full assembly, and the author agreed to add an amendment that any votes like for the board or for a special assessment, that those would be done in person.
Yeah, because I testified when I was on the National Board of Trustees for the super lean bill in California several times. And I was amazed that, you know, they'd send off this, you know, junior associate college student to redraft the bill in the middle of the night, and they come back and read it and pass it. Kind of wonder, you wonder why when we get the bills on the other end, like everything has to be reworked because they don't really work, or the language isn't quite right or something. Well, it's just amazing.
And Bill, remember what Louis Brown told us, they look at thousands of bills every year. So it's really important that they give each one its due and opportunities for people to speak up and against or for those bills, so that they get a little bit more of an insider view on it. Would you recommend either of you, anyone else, to do this and testify? Would you think this is something we really need to keep pushing our young managers and our new managers and our veterans to get involved in?
I would say absolutely. You should be as involved in the industry as you can get. Get as much education as you can get, and make sure that you're looking beyond just your little pond, because your little pond is always going to be affected by the big ocean of those laws.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, I say this about anything, like, I don't want to listen to you complain if you didn't vote, you didn't participate in the process. Like, I don't want to listen to you complain about politicians if you didn't vote in the last election. Like, where I'm just not going to go there. So if you don't want to participate in the process and try to have an impact, and participating may look different for every person because everybody's got their own limitations, but if you have the ability and desire to impact legislation before it becomes a law, then definitely get involved and be part of this process. It's fascinating. CACM and CAI set you up to be very heard. They help make sure it's professional, that you feel supported through the whole process. And so I think it's just important that everybody takes the time, if you're able to, and be involved. And if you can't be involved by going to Sacramento and testifying like Becky and I did, then understand the position that CACM or CAI is taking on these bills, and write to your legislator about it to either support or oppose, and ask your legislator when these bills are coming up for a vote on the floor to either oppose it or vote yay or nay on these bills, so that your voice, and one voice, continues to be amplified as they do that. Because I think one thing Louis said that's really impactful is that there's some junior associate, right, Bill, that's sitting in this congressman's office answering phone calls.
Yeah.
Or the emails. And they log every time somebody calls about a bill or an issue, or they get an email. Well, it's not going to go to the congressperson's attention until there's so many logs. So if, you know, I happen to live in Santa Clara County, so I will email my reps for Santa Clara County and say, hey, this bill's coming up in the assembly or in the Senate. I ask that you vote yes. All it does is a quick email. And if you're part of CAI or CACM, a lot of times we'll get a call to action from them. Read those. I know we get a lot of emails and things, but read those and just do the call to action. Like that does, it takes you 5 minutes. Doesn't involve going to Sacramento, but it is a way to get involved and support and be part of this process.
I do remember the interns, you know, like dictating. We've had so many phone calls for and so many phone calls against or emails, you know, kind of when they're discussing with the Congress or assembly person. So I agree. I think that's one of those things that's really overlooked in our industry and probably not something enough people do is when call to actions, you know, take that 10 minutes and respond.
You should also share those call to actions with community members you know will respond. So if you need extra people, I know that I'm always in board meetings. If there's something that I see coming down the pipeline for one of my communities, this could become a law. I may need you to email. They've all agreed. They'll all email. And it just takes 5 seconds of, well, okay, maybe more than 5 seconds, but you know, it takes really no time.
Yes.
And
we waste our time on.
Exactly.
You know, as an industry, we don't have a lot of people or money to lobby, right? The realtors industry, they've got millions of dollars and lots of lobbyists at the state level and the national level to help pass legislation that's favorable to them as an industry. We don't. So we have each other and our voices. And Becky, I love what you said about involving your board members, because ultimately that's who we serve and they're the ones most impacted by this legislation. So to share with them and say, hey guys, push the button and, you know, send the email and tell them yes or no on this. That's super helpful, because I think if they can hear from a board member, that's really helpful.
Or a community member. It doesn't have to be a board member. If you have someone who is just, I have nothing but time, I'm retired, I would love to be involved. Okay, here's the call to action.
I got to do that one time and I was very impressed with the attorneys. They took a lot of homeowners to the legislation to testify on why certain laws were needing to be passed on their homes. And they were so passionate and they felt really excited about being there. So I really hope that people will continue from the grassroots. And would you do it again, knowing what you know now?
I absolutely would.
100%. I mean, I went twice in a 2 month period because it was just such an amazing experience the first time around.
Bill, what about you? It's been a while, but would you go again?
I kind of feel bad that I was so involved and like I haven't been, and maybe it's time to put my toe back in the water. So
just be the email, you know, keyboard jockey. And do it that way.
I do the keyboard ones. I will say that I consider some of the more important stuff, I do get involved in some of that. But I did have a good time going and testifying, and it was fascinating. As you said, you know, you remember the cartoon when you were a kid, but when you actually see it in action, it's a whole different thing. So
absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was very impressed with how organized it was. Becky, you and I sat in a lot of board meetings. I think we've all sat in a lot of board meetings. And, you know, sometimes the topics can go on and on and on, but they were very in it and
orchestrated.
And they had rules and you had your 2 minutes and then you were done and you kept going and they kept just moving through the topics. So the first time I went, there was like 20 bills being heard. And so I was there for a little while, but they moved through them very quickly.
Maybe we should make that rule in board meetings that the homeowners can only talk for 2 minutes.
Well, actually, a lot of them do have a 3-minute rule.
There you go.
And when you have Zoom, it's so fun because you've got the mute button. I like that button. I wish it was in real life.
We have just a minute before we got to go here, but what's the biggest takeaway from that experience that you received?
I mean, mine is just get involved. I'm going to continue to get involved, but I feel like I am going to drag everybody else in with me that I know. I put together more people that are willing to testify, you know, in my network. So if I'm not available, I can easily help our lobbyists get someone because I know how important it is for them to have someone there with them.
How about you, Becky? What's your biggest takeaway?
Same with Kelly. It's getting involved. I'm staying involved and I am encouraging everyone to get involved because it's so valuable and it makes such an impact. And it's very hard when you see something going the wrong way for a community and you can't do anything. Well, this is something you can do. And I'd rather jump in front of a freight train, so to speak against a bad bill. And maybe I'll get run over, maybe I won't. But maybe one person will hear that there is a good reason why this wasn't done and it shouldn't be done now.
Well, if someone wants to get involved, what's the best way for them to reach out? Through CLAC, through CACM? What should we do to try to get people going?
I would say reaching out to CACM, reaching out to CAI, or even emailing Louie Brown. Mm-hmm. Emailing him directly. He legislates for us as a group. You can reach out to CLAC. That is the organization that handles, you know, making sure things get to Louie. And they do a lot of work on the backside. So maybe you want to join the CLAC committee, or maybe just want to submit emails to the CLAC members.
Maybe start with the call to action, right? Start there and work your way in.
Yeah, I think, you know, CAI, and I'm more familiar with their process from being on the board, there is their legislative action committee. There is an online website that you can sign up for with your email. And so when there is a call to action, when they do need you to reach out to legislators because there's a bill that we really oppose or we really need support for, they will send you an email and they'll send you like a template, like just cut and paste this and send this to your legislator. So you can get on that email list. You sign up through the CLAC website. And I think that's the easiest, quickest way to get involved. CACM, I'm not as familiar with that, but I do know that in the magazines that come out and the emails that we are sent, there is always a legislative update. And I know some people maybe skip over that portion of the magazine. Read those things so that you're aware of what laws are potentially out there. And if there's something that you have an interest in or experience with, Jennifer Wada is always looking for people to help share their experience.
I do believe CACM has it on their website as well. So you can grab it from there. But thank you so much for sharing your experience. I really, really appreciate it. It's something that I think we have to continue to drive home, to participate, to get involved. And you guys did a great job and congratulations on some of it passing, and keep fighting the good fight for those that didn't. We'll keep going.
Got a couple more chances to beat back the bad ones.
Yep, that's right. Well, thanks again, ladies. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Reagan.